What's happening?
I've still got the lurgy a bit, so.
Oh, you're joking.
We'll
what
see.
A nightmare.
My voice will deteriorate throughout the podcast, I think. Might need to do it in sign language or something like that.
Either that or I'll actually hate to do something.
Well, what's the one to say, you know?
I'll just give me a wee slip of Pepsi Max before we start. Refreshing.
Right, are we ready to rock and roll?
Certainly am, yeah.
Clear the pipes.
What on earth was that? Oh my god. Mate, you're ill.
Many people have said that before.
Oh dear. Bob Fleming here. Right, on you go.
I told him. Hello?
Hello, that's fine.
It's me you're looking for.
Right, line all on you go.
Charbonnet.
Aye, or Messi.
Blair.
Oh, damn, you beat me to it. That's the only Lionels I know.
Easy, Lionel. Go and keep speaking.
Right, okay, I'll keep speaking. Can you hear me? 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, it's fine. I was just wanting you to fill the dead space when I was yawning there.
We've also got the Suwon Samsung Blue Wings, who are from South Korea. So, some really big names in there, Derek, and the team is doing very, very well.
Do you think the Samsung Sun Wings are sponsored by Samsung?
I would take a guess at that, aye.
Yeah.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Derek. Who's still got the lurgy.
Bob Fleming here. There you go.
And as you can hear, my co-host Dave. How you doing, Dave?
A lot better than what you sound, Derek.
Yes, I've still got the lurgy, so I might cough and splutter through this.
Oh my
but
goodness.
I'm staying the course anyway. I'm being staunch and staying up and doing this podcast, even though I should be in bed.
To any of our older listeners that know all about the Fast Show, this is definitely like one of Bob Fleming's sketches. I think tonight is going to be, but well, hopefully you can soldier on, Derek.
Well, I know, I'm a brave wee soldier, aren't I?
Exactly, that's you. Yes. That's the first thing I think about when I think of you.
Very brave, very brave. Yes, we've got a few bits and pieces to cover. Obviously, controversies with referees as over and compliance officers, but we'll leave that till we get after the matches, and we'll discuss that in depth there. But we've obviously got three matches to cover, which is against St Mirren, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock, and bits and pieces as well. So we'll batter on, we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So, the first game we've got to cover, Dave, is Saturday. Why are you laughing at already?
I'm just thinking about the uproar that came in the aftermath of this game, and then we've got the uproar of what happened in the next game. We're going to be talking about so much here. So on you go, mate. On you go.
Saturday the 2nd of January at home to St Mirren, where we won 4-0. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Katic, Worrell, Barisic, McCrory, Davis, Kent, Arfield, Defoe and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Jack, Koulibaly, Halliday, Middleton, Candeas and Lafferty. So obviously high expectations there, bottom of the league St Mirren, couldn't really buy a win, couldn't even buy a point all at the time. Obviously expectations were high. And I wouldn't say we made hard work of the game, but we had, you know, not very many open chances, I don't think.
No.
But certainly in the second minute, it was great play down the right-hand side by Morelos, getting past the winger, crosses the ball into the box, Defoe picks the ball up, takes a touch, he was going away from the goal, and he was clearly fouled in the box, and the penalty was given within 2 minutes.
Yep.
And needless to say, we never expected what was going to happen later on in the game.
But no.
Up steps Tavernier and converts the penalty quite easily, and on the penalty itself was a stone waller, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely, Derek. Yeah, there's no complaints, and even saw, you know, even the St Mirren players, there wasn't a lot of people that actually, you know, went up to the referee and remonstrated, you know what I mean? It looked, you know, fairly straightforward, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly. So Tavernier, cool as you like, once again converts a penalty. On the 11th minute, there was a quick break with it being 3v3. Kent drove the ball through the middle, passed it wide right to Defoe, tried to cross on the edge of the box and deflected off the defender. Back to Kent in the middle, who hits a shot and forces a save from the keeper to put out for the corner. Nothing came from the corner though. On the 14th minute, it was a good determination from Arfield to win the ball. Falls to Kent, who passes to Defoe, who was wide on the right-hand side of the box. Has a shot, but it hit the side netting. On the 20th minute, there was a quick break forward, worked the ball into the box to the right from Tavernier. Great cross from Tavernier, which finds the head of Kent in the centre of the box, but deflected it out for the corner. And then on the 24th minute, this is where the controversy, well, as such, starts anyway. It was another penalty given. It was a lot of play in and around the box, several shots blocked by St Mirren defence, false to Defoe on the right, takes a touch to get a better angle, and he was fouled again in the box. Now, he never claimed for a penalty. None of the St Mirren players claimed it wasn't a penalty. Defoe got straight up. It might have been a bit soft in my eyes, but I think he was certainly clipped and he went down. But as I said, he got back straight back up. If you were claiming for a penalty and want to dive, you'd be rolling about that box, claiming for something, wouldn't you? Obviously, a lot of the other fans think he was it was a dive, but you know, a penalty was given nonetheless. And I don't care how soft it was. If it's soft, it's still a fucking penalty.
Derek, again, this whole slowing everything down to, you know, so slow that you can see the grass actually move in the wind and stuff like that, and is unbelievable. But this is us, and we get judged for absolutely everything. You know that. It's trial by sports scene, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that's exactly how it was. At the time, when it happened, it looked as if it was a penalty. The referee gave a penalty. End of. Do you know what I mean? So, as you say, the whole uproar after it about Jermaine Defoe diving, Defoe went down, got straight back up to try and win the ball again. He didn't dive and lie down on the ground, rolling about, looking at the referee. He got straight back up to try and get the ball back, you know, and try and do something with it. But the referee thought that he got clipped. It was down. It was a penalty. So, you know, it was a penalty to me. And I know people might say that we're looking through blue tinted glasses, but I just feel that so much. There's so many people scrutinising every single decision that's going for us just now, and like I say, I'm going to be using that a lot in this podcast, this trial by sports scene, because this is all it is. And you know, if you can slow something down so slowly, as if it happened in real time, which it didn't, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I made a point on Twitter, and it was of Usain Bolt running, and there was a couple of other runners around him as well, and I made the point where Usain Bolt doesn't run, he floats above the ground, because every single runner in that shot had their feet above ground because they were mid-stride, obviously. So you can make a still picture, you can make a slowed down passage
of
play.
It's incredible.
You can make it see anything you want, effectively.
Exactly. No, you can, Derek. That's exactly what it is. If you can get a camera shot at the right angle, at the right speed, you can make it look like anything. It's not what happens in real time. It's not what happens in real life, but again, because it's us, it's trial by, you know, camera and slowing it down and, you know, it make it look as if we are cheating. That's exactly what it is. It's pathetic. And you know, it was a penalty at the end of the day, and I'm sure you're about to tell us what happened after that.
Yeah, and a very unusual penalty. Tavernier hit the post and missed it. You know, strange for him. I don't know if it was lackadaisical or what, but, you know, he certainly had beat the keeper, but you need to hit the target at the end of the day, and he never done so. So it remained 1-0.
Yeah, and like I said to you, and the vast majority of people, I'm sure you said that you were thinking the same thing, rather that he missed his first penalty when we are 1-0 up against a team that's bottom of the league at home so early in the game. So it's never a great time to miss a penalty, Derek, but that was certainly the best sort of circumstances for us, I think, for him to miss his first penalty.
Yeah. little did we know a couple of games later.
Exactly.
So on the 34th minute, Kent got the ball in the box on the left side, cuts inside, beating two defenders, hits a shot from 10 yards, but hits off the bar and out. Really should have scored that one.
Yeah.
Good play nonetheless, though.
Fantastic, yep.
37th minute, there was a great cross in from the left from Barisic, with the attacker getting his head to it and a comfortable save for the keeper, and that's where the first half ended. So, you know, a bit concerned, obviously, with the a bit of the opportunity to go two goals up, but we're only still one goal up in the game. It's always been the case, you know, it's the second goal that's the challenge for us, but, you know, little did we know for what was going to happen in the second half. So, McCrory came off in the 53rd minute and Jack came on, and now McCrory had picked up a yellow card 5 minutes earlier, so that might have influenced the decision, because he was getting a bit hot-headed at that point.
It was, and you know how highly I think of McCrory, Derek, but he wasn't having one of his better games. He was having quite a frustrating game, and it was actually a good move by Steven Gerrard at that point to bring Jack on, because I actually think that Jack changed the game after that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and virtually in the same passage of play, the next passage of play, a penalty was given to us for handball inside the box. What happened, I mean, see it in real time, it looked to me as if it was about 2 feet in the box. However, when you look back on the replay, the handball did actually start outside the box, or at least on the line anyway, and he'd kind of dragged the ball inwards, and he still was handling the ball as he was going into the box area. So, as with a normal passage of play, if you look at the rules, if a foul is committed outside the box and continues into the box, then it's a penalty.
Yes.
Same with a handball as well. And it wasn't the referee that gave the decision this time, it was the actual near side linesman. So this conspiracy theory about Andrew Dallas giving penalties to Rangers all the time, you know, was a load of bullshit. It was a load of bullshit anyway, but, you know, it was a load of bullshit on this occasion.
Is this at the same Andrew Dallas who is, you know, publicly been called out as being a Rangers supporter?
Yes.
Derek. It's quite incredible. On that, I mean, I hate to come off track, Derek, right? But after that game, there's certain times during the season that you really have to put Radio Clyde on just to listen to the complete outrage, and after that game I really had to. And just to give this one guy that came on, who actually named himself, Derek, as John the Paranoid Celtic supporter, that was how he addressed himself, and he basically just came out and said Andrew Dallas is a Rangers supporter, fine. And that was kind of what he said, and I'm no joking, Derek, it made my night. It was hilarious, but I'm sorry to you know, lead you off track there, but it was rather funny.
Me and you had a discussion at the time, and I was thinking at the time certainly it was a wee bit dubious. I thought it was maybe not a penalty, but, you know, obviously looking back in it and then reviewing obviously the rules, and certainly absolutely it was a penalty.
But you're trying to say, Derek, I was right.
You were on.
It's like talking to my wife. You just can't admit it, Derek, can you? Can't admit it.
You weren't left, put it that way.
Quality. Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, 54th minute, Tavernier converts the penalty. Now, apparently there was a wee bit of argy-bargy with Morelos and Defoe trying to grab the ball before that, which was kind of good to see, but also a wee bit concerning as well, because everybody should know who the penalty taker was. As well, though, at the same time, it's maybe justified because Tavernier had missed one, so all fair and loving penalties and all that. So,
no, I was pleased that he stepped up himself to take it, Derek, because a lot of people wouldn't have. A lot of people would have passed it on. Not just with his confidence, but a lot of other players, just like what you've said, they would have said, well, look, come on, you've missed one, geese up somebody else a chance. So I was pleased that he stepped up himself and he took it and scored it. you know, and it would have done his confidence of the world a good after missing that one as well.
Yep. So it was kind of almost floodgates kind of opened at that point, because, you know, St Mirren had to push up. We had got that confidence of getting the second goal, and maybe that's what it's all about when it comes to us getting the second goal, a wee bit of confidence, and then we can push on. But we got the second goal, happy days, and on the 58th minute, Morelos shoots from the right-hand side of the box, but hits the side netting again. 63rd minute, Davis came off and Candeias came on. 68th minute was a long shot, but it was a great save by the keeper. I don't know who that was for, actually, while I put in my notes here. 68th minute again, it was a well-worked ball down the right with Kent crossing the ball into the box, Defoe chesting the ball, turning and hitting a shot in the volley, but went over the bar. Good move, again, coming from Kent, and a good bit of skill from Defoe. 73rd minute, Candeias hits a shot from the edge of the box on the right, but a comfortable save from the keeper. 75th minute, was a long ball from Barisic on the left to Morelos in the box, controls the ball, shoots, but a good closing down save from the keeper. Defoe runs in and gets the ball, drags it to the right, cuts it back to Candeias, who shoots, and another great save by the keeper. So we're pressing on and putting their keeper under a bit of pressure at this point, which is good to see.
Yep.
And on probably the most controversial moment of the game for me, 79th minute, the fourth penalty was given to Rangers. This is where I think this one wasn't a penalty, to be honest, for me. Candeias was on the edge of the box, or certainly it looked to me the outside. I've given him the benefit of the doubt there, and he was certainly fouled. I don't have an issue with the foul, but I felt that he kind of almost done a dive into the box rather than actually, you know, the foul continuing into the box, and I don't even think he made it fully, but the penalty was given anyway. So I don't know if that was the referee or linesman. Something tells me it was the linesman that gave that one as well, but that's the only one of the four I would have said had any dubiety about it being a penalty or not. What would you say on that?
Stonewaller, Derek.
Really?
Again, it's the thing that's the outrageous bit for me, Derek, is the fact that everybody in the granny's saying it's absolutely, it was so obvious, it was unbelievable, and how the two men, you know, not see it when it was right in front of him, blah, blah, blah. It's happened, he's given a penalty. As you say, it did look as if he dived, and it did look as if it was slightly outside the box, but the initial tackle, Derek, was a foul, and it's up to the linesman and the referee to be positioned to see where they thought it was. And at the time, they've both thought it's been right in the corner of the box, so the penalty's been given. But as you say, that was the one that was the most sort of dubiety out of all of them, wasn't it? The rest of them, again, I would have said were penalties. But, you know, we'll take it, Derek. You're damn right we'll take it. And, you know, everybody will try and take everything off us, but, you know, it's counted, we've scored, and, you know, that's us 4-0 up at that point.
Yeah, just before we get into the rest of the game, just on the fact that there's been four penalties, obviously the whole media outrage, all the Celtic fans after that as well, as you can imagine, that they weren't too happy, claiming conspiracies, etc, etc. It's somebody said something about it's a historic moment, it's only the second time it's ever happened, four penalties in a game. Well, it's not a historic moment then if it's happened before. Fucking idiot.
That's what I mean, Derek. It's been the outrage has been great, and then that's when you start getting these absolutely ridiculous statements, and that one was an absolute belter. But I think somebody's needing to explain how history actually works.
But it's more the point, all this outrage about penalties, but not one person from the media could turn round from our previous game or turn round said that Rangers should have had two Stonewall penalties in the Cowdenbeath game.
The
Cowdenbeath penalty should never have stood. So
it'll never happen, Derek. No. That's the thing. It'll never happen. I've got a lot to say about the next game coming up, but I'll leave that till the end. But things are actually getting worse, and anybody that looks in at the media now when it comes to your club that cannot say that there isn't something there, that, you know, that we're getting hammered for absolutely everything, getting criticised for absolutely everything, is incredible. And it's the next game that really does it for me, but we'll get on to that soon, Derek.
Yeah, so up steps, it was actually Jermaine Defoe this time.
Yes.
Because Tavernier, unselfishly, obviously on his hat-trick, gave Defoe the chance to score his first goal at Ibrox. So he grabbed the ball, Julie, and he taken the penalty and scored with it. So fantastic.
No, excellent. First goal at Ibrox, and you know, you could see that Tavernier has given him the chance, you know, he break his duck, you know, in a match at home, and he, you know, he stepped up quite confidently and fired at home, didn't he?
Yep. And then a minute later, on the 81st minute, Kent scores the fourth goal of the night with probably the pick of the bunch. It was an outstanding move. Kent got the ball in midfield, passed to Defoe, who drove it forward on the left. Patty, he kind of held the ball up, was looking for Kent making the run, which he duly did on the left side of the box, played an inch perfect pass to him, and Kent dinks it first time over the top of the keeper and into the back of net. All round outstanding move.
Great goal, Derek, and what a fantastic finish by Kent. Another guy who's just really on the top of his game just now, isn't he? Just looks fantastic, and that finish was just sublime. It really was.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the 82nd minute, Defoe came off, Lafferty came on. 85th minute, Morelos was fouled in the box. A clear as you like foul, but nothing given. Should have easily been a penalty, should have been the fifth penalty of the night, and people weren't really saying much about that, were they?
No, but to be fair though, Derek, out of all of the penalties, according to Michael Stewart, that's one that should have been counted. So there you go. So we should have had maybe one penalty in the whole game, and it was that one that wasn't given at the end. So, yeah. But there you go. No, it was a stonewaller, Derek. We didn't get it, but at the end of the day, you know. And could you imagine the outrage if that had been given as well? Oh my God, it would have been incredible, but it wasn't to be.
Yep, absolutely. So after the game as well, you know, the press conferences coming up and all that kind of thing, Steve Clarke, you know, the ever mumbler that he is, he was basically asking for consistency, and he was kind of asked about the whole kind of our game and this game.
You know,
he kind of cited, and he never mentioned them, but he was talking about Defoe diving, and really without naming him, he implied that he should get banned for diving, just like Jordan Jones did. Now, Jordan Jones was a shocking dive. He's admitted that, or Steve Clark's admitted it himself, that Jones should be embarrassed with that, and he was a bit sheepish. So really, really bizarre comments from Clark there, and really classless, as Steven Gerrard called him out on being a bit classless on that one. And Clark was one of the two managers who didn't actually attend the referees summit in relation to VAR. So I don't think Steve Clark has any moral high ground to stand on when it comes to refereeing decisions if he can't be arsed going to a meeting about refereeing.
Derek, I think the question that you've got to ask again is, why has our game been brought up in a press conference with Kilmarnock against whoever it is they were playing? Why did the media even bother to bring the game up when they should be speaking about Kilmarnock and their game in the first place? That's the first question I've got. And then the second question again, as you say, Steve Clarke, I really rated the guy, and I still do as a manager. I think what he's done at Kilmarnock's been absolutely fantastic. But again, you know, really, really poor, you know, to be talking about us when, you know, his team isn't even playing. And again, all stirred up by the media once again, isn't it? It's absolutely pathetic.
He's certainly doing an interview for being a Celtic manager, isn't he? The way he's acting like that kind of thing. So, anyway, enough talking about that twat. We'll get into the next game, which was Wednesday, the 6th of February, away to Aberdeen, where we won 4-2. Outstanding performance from the team, wasn't it?
Derek, this, for me, I was really looking forward to this game. I had a really good feeling about it. I just had a hunch that we were going to go out and win. I had a hunch that we were going to play well. I also had a hunch that we would play well defensively. And I was right, you know, on all accounts. And as you say, you'll get into the final goal that we scored. But that final goal, when we scored that goal, that's one of the best feelings or celebrations that I've had in a very long time supporting Rangers, and I would even say that it's up there, us scoring the fourth goal with Ryan Jack scoring against Celtic. For me personally, that's how I felt when we scored the fourth goal. But I'll let you get into the game, because it was an absolutely fantastic match. And even, and I know we're no bothered about the neutral, Derek, but there must have been, you know, people down in England and all over Europe watching that game, and it was an absolute spectacle. It was a fantastic game to watch. It just had absolutely everything in it, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Worrell, Barisic, McCrory, Jack, Arfield, Candeas, Morelos and Kent. And on the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Davis, Defoe, Katic, Halliday, Lafferty and Koulibaly.
What a bench, as I've said to you again, Derek. I mean, that is, you know, that is showing you the squad that we've got at the moment. That's a fantastic bench to have. So, it was just great. But as I say, fire away, mate. On you go.
Yep. So in the fifth minute, it was a long throw into the box by Aberdeen. Nice touch back out to the Aberdeen attacker, who had a half volley over the bar. It was quite a dangerous move. My RTV went down for kind of about 7 minutes odd, so I never picked it up until the 15th minute. Lovely ball from Barisic on the halfway line on the left to Morelos in the box. Turns and a pass to Kent, who was running into the box. It was a bad touch, but he got the break of the ball. Comes back out to Morelos, who had a shot. However, it was drifting wide. It was drifting wide, and that was a good move, although.
Yeah.
And 4 minutes later, though, we went a goal up. Fantastic goal with Morelos scoring. It's a lovely driving run on the edge of the box from left to right by Kent into the box. Had a blistering shot. Keeper saves it. Comes out to Morelos in the box, who has a volley and into the back of net. Brilliant all-round goal.
It was fantastic play by Kent, first of all, Derek, you know. And it just, you know, as you say, the move just before that, you could just tell that we were starting to up our game. And Kent, just with that burst of pace, and as you say, went for the left-hand side of the box, diagonally into the right, absolutely flying and hit a shot. Really unlucky. I thought it was in all the way. Great save by the goalkeeper. Falls to Morelos, who just hits it first time along the ground and into the net. Absolutely superb. Morelos being the poacher there, which is what we like to see, and you know, a fantastic goal, and you know, really well deserved at that point.
Yep. So the game kind of plodded on, and what throughout these highlights of this game, it doesn't really tell you how much of a battle the game was. You know, both teams were going at it. They weren't given anything up at all, and they were both battling, and it was quite a midfield battle, probing as well towards the kind of final third without getting very far. But you know, as I said, these highlights only highlight the actual, you know, chances in front of goal.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the 30th minute, Aberdeen drew level, which was really disappointing. Their attacker went down the right hand side. There was a cross in. Tavernier heads it out, falls to the striker on the edge of the box, who has a half volley, deflects off two of our defenders right into the path of Cosgrove on the left, who more or less had an empty net to hit it in. So it was, you know, a bit of fortune. You can't really blame Tavernier for the cross. Bit of fortune where the ball deflected off our defenders right into the path of the attacker. But you should have been picking that attacker up, shouldn't you have?
What was disappointing for the start, Derek, was it was Barisic that lost the ball, and we were breaking forward at that point. We had, you know, it was a chance. He had got the ball, and you know how highly I think of Barisic, Derek, but it was a poor touch by him because he was actually attacking, and he gave the ball away, and that's what sent Aberdeen on the break, unfortunately. So it actually came from us losing the ball in the Aberdeen half while we were attacking. You know, quite disappointing, and as you say, a bit of fortune for Aberdeen, because the cross came in and it just happened to fall. You know, once they had their first chance, it fell straight to Cosgrove and he was able to fire it in. So we were a bit disappointed in that one. I think, you know, I know you're saying that you're not blaming Tav. I just think if he'd positioned himself slightly better, he would have been in front of the man. It'd been a lot more difficult for him to score, but it didn't happen, Derek, and it was 1-1. And, you know, we were feeling pretty aggrieved at that point because we had been the better team.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we didn't let that get to us, though, like we have in the past. It's, yep. It's like Kilmarnock, you know, we kept our heads up and we kept on plugging away, which was great. On the 35th minute, Tavernier had a free kick from 20 yards on the left-hand side of the box. Went up and over the wall, but a comfortable save from the keeper, who really didn't need to move. However, on the 37th minute, we went 2-1 up with Morelos scoring again, and this was an outstanding goal, wasn't it? Good worked move with the ball getting played from left to right, ending in Kent to Morelos. Morelos had a great touch, looked up and placed a great driving shot into the bottom left-hand corner.
It wasn't even hit at great power, Derek. It was all about the precision, wasn't it? He had a very small small space to aim for, and the amount of curl and just sort of precision, it was as if he so accurately passed the ball into the bottom corner, didn't he, right round the goalkeeper. It was absolutely sensational. You know, and I watched it over and over again. It was fantastic. And at that point, Derek, is it quite easy to say at that point that this is one of the best games that Alfredo Morelos has played for Rangers at that point? Because everything he was doing, they were terrified of him, yep. Derek, at that point. It was absolutely sensational going in. He scored that goal. And, you know, he's just so full of confidence. And I thought to myself, how lucky are we to have this guy in our team? Absolutely sensational and, you know, a fantastic goal. Just really, really good and, you know, well, well deserved by the team.
Yep, outstanding goal there. And we kept on pressing as well. 42nd minute, a free kick was floated into the box from the left. The ball knocked on by Goldson's head, and it hit off the Aberdeen defender's hand or arm, yep. Which was well in the air, and a penalty was duly given. So this is where the controversy starts, because it's just us. There's claims that he was claiming for an offside. Well, I don't see how he could be offside if Goldson was in front of him in the first place.
But Derek, he can claim offside all he wants. The ball still clearly struck his arm in the box. You know, when the ball's coming in, so regardless if he's claiming for it, it still came off his hand. You know, that's not an excuse.
No, it was the excuse it's the excuse that fans are using. They said that the ball was offside anyway, or the play was offside. Well, I've looked at that several times, and there was not one player that was remotely offside in that move. So don't understand what they're talking about there.
Well, just you know what it is, Derek. You know they're trying to make out as if it was, you know, unfairly given and there was an advantage to us. But I mean, that was a lot of nonsense. Now, as clear cut a penalty as you'll see, as clear cut a handball as you'll see, Derek, and you know the ball was put on the spot quite rightly so.
Yep. So up steps Tavernier on the 43rd minute and converts the penalty, and we went 3-1. So into half time, absolutely delirious, weren't we?
Yep, fantastic. Completely cruising the game, Derek. Like I said, we played some fantastic football. We had completely controlled the game, and Alfredo Morelos was just absolutely sublime.
Yep. So, as I've said, it doesn't the highlights here doesn't, you know, say how hard we worked.
It really doesn't, no.
We worked our arse off this game, which was really good to see, and we kept our head up. So, quite happy going into half-time, and we thought it might have been not a barrel load, but we would have kept the cushion up, and it only taken 2 minutes to destroy that, or a minute to destroy that, because Aberdeen got a penalty in the 46th minute. It was a corner played in. Tavernier and Aberdeen attacker both at it. Tavernier clearly holding on to the Aberdeen attacker. Can't really have any arguments about it whatsoever. Absolute stupidity from a player who should know a lot better.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And Aberdeen duly converted the penalty, making it 3-2. So, you know, it really put us on the back foot again, which was annoying. But we never let it affect us too much either, because we still kept on going up until a certain point. Anyway, it was the 48th minute. The ball was played forward, and Morelos beats the offside trap. Went one-on-one with the keeper. Had time to round the keeper, but blasted it right at him after the keeper closed him down and saved.
Great chance.
You know, it was one of these occasions where I think he had too much time on his hands, and he kind of got caught in two minds, and he just allowed the keeper too much time.
It was what we know as a Kenny Millerism, Derek, where, you know, Kenny Miller, you know, if he had a split second to react, 9 times out of 10 he would score, but the amount of times that he was put through and he had too much time to think about it, he would end up missing, and that's exactly what it was. I was really surprised, as you say, that he didn't try and take the ball round him, but unfortunately for him, it didn't go in. He could so easily have, you know, been on his hat trick there.
Yep. And then, only 5 minutes later, the moment of controversy once again in a football match involving us, a straight red card given for the Aberdeen defender and Morelos as well. There was a tangle at the edge of the goal line, near the edge of the box. The Aberdeen defender kind of fell back, and Morelos, his legs kind of got tangled up in him. It looked as if he had... certain fans are saying he stamped on his goalies, but there was no way that was a stamp. He was trying to clear his foot, and he kind of maybe could have done a wee bit better to try and not not try and hit that area, but you know, he had no really option in it, in the way his feet were, and the Aberdeen defender decides to take exception of that, flicks back and flicks his feet right up, which catches Morelos on the cheek, and Morelos flies down like he's been shot, which didn't really help the matters because he started rolling about and he was down for a good 5 minutes. Certainly the Aberdeen defender got a straight red card for that, duly so. It was a fucking shocking challenge, you know, it was a straight red and it should have been a severe ban every day of the week. And eventually Morelos was got sent off as well, and ultimately we still really don't know what he was sent off for. Was it play acting or was it that alleged stamp in his ghoulies, which, as somebody said on Twitter, I forgot his name now, but I did mention it in the post-match pod, that had that Aberdeen player not flicked out, are they trying to tell me that Morelos was getting a straight red card for that?
Again, Derek, I'm going to go back and repeat myself after the last game talking about Jermaine Defoe's penalty. If you can slow down footage so much and change a camera angle to look at a certain way, it's going to look as if anything happened. And when we were watching that in real time, there is absolutely no way that we would have said that that was a stamp. No way. Even the angle that the referee had, to me, it looked as if, you say, they were going for the ball and he put his foot down. There was absolutely nowhere for him to put his foot down. It's landed there. I certainly don't think it was a stamp, and I know that there might be a lot of people saying, "Oh, you're saying this through blue tinted glasses." But again, watching that in real time, I seen what happened. The Aberdeen defender shot his foot up, got him right in the cheek with his studs, and Morelos went down. I know, Derek, what you're saying is true. The way that he went down and he was rolling about and stuff like that, but it was a potentially a bad, it could have been a really bad injury to him. Especially on his face, and what the hell the Aberdeen defender was doing, putting his foot up like, anyway, I don't know. But it took ages, and then when the referee pulled out the red card, I honestly could not believe it. I was totally, totally gobsmacked that that happened. And then I thought to myself, I was annoyed with myself. I thought, why am I totally gobsmacked at that? It's Alfredo Morelos, it's the referees. And then the fallout after this has been incredible. And again, I'll get into it when the game finishes, Derek, because we've still got a lot to talk about. But I, at the time, did not think it was a penalty. Even watching back the replays, a few times after that, I still didn't think that he should have been sent off. Sorry, I said a penalty. she shouldn't have been sent off after watching it. And again, it all comes down to this trial by sports scene, this slowing it down so much and the camera angle being changed so much to make it look a hell of a lot worse than it was. It's quite incredible, Derek. It really is. But again, unfortunately for us, it got sent off. He was away. So both teams down to 10 men.
And that's what was annoying, is both teams were down to 10 men, and for the rest of the game up until we scored the fourth goal, spoilers, that Aberdeen were playing like they had a man extra. It was so frustrating. We just failed to the management failed to change the system. You know, as I said in the post-match, Aberdeen had lost a defender, we had lost an attacker, so it should have affected mm-hmm. them more. But what actually turned out is Aberdeen lost one of their worst players of the night and we lost our best player of the night. Yeah. So it kind of counterbalanced that way, and they seemed to gain more momentum from it, and we were on the back foot without them doing very much. That was frustrating from there.
On the back foot, Derek, but defensively, it's sometimes maybe what we're needing is a game like that, backs to the wall type stuff, because I still had a wee feeling that we weren't going to get beat. I really did, because I know that Aberdeen had a lot of the ball, but we were clearing everything, and apart from one save that I'm sure you're going to get into with McGregor, we really didn't look that troubled at the back, did we, for the rest of the game, considering Aberdeen were doing all the press, and I thought our defence were fantastic in this, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that at all. We stood up to them and we played very well. So on the 69th minute, this is when we really first started to change it. Candias came off, Defoe came on, and as Candias was walking off, he was taking his time, fair enough, but he was booked for time wasting. And this is the note I've got here. This ref is a knob. That's all I'll put with that one there.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it time and time again, and when players are coming off. I don't know how many times you've seen it against us where players just waltzing off as if, you know, they've not a care in the world. Candias gets booked for it. I've never seen a player get booked for that in the last couple of years when it's happened all the time. It's disgraceful. And then here's another moment of controversy, which we'll get into, is on the 70th minute, McGregor ran to collect the ball inside the box as the Aberdeen attacker was lurking and coming into the box. McGregor clearly got the ball, shielded the ball from him, and he kind of, as he was going down, he kind of stuck out his leg. He kind of led with the studs, and he did connect with the Aberdeen attacker right in the shin. But you look at it, yeah, connected, absolutely. However, if you look at the way McGregor went down, and any keeper goes down, he needs to protect himself. Had McGregor tried to point his studs downwards, then his leg would have been probably broken because his studs would have caught into the ground. I don't know how you're meant to make a save like that without having your feet the way McGregor did.
The thing that got me, Derek, is I don't think at the time, and even when they spoke to the so-called experts after the game, and I've heard a few ex-professionals also on the radio basically saying that they didn't think that that was as bad, and basically using, you know, the circumstances that you've just said there, you know, they've said, you know, it's the way that he's slid in, goalkeepers will protect themselves like that, and that's what McGregor, and the vast majority of the ex-professionals says that they really didn't have a problem with that. The problem that we have is the media, again, highlighting that this as well, and you know, I'm sure that you're going to get into it as well, Derek. What's happened in the aftermath of that specific tackle as well? But I don't know if you're going to get into that after the game or not.
Yeah, we'll get into all these decisions after. Just bearing in mind on the Morelos decision, obviously, and this decision here with McGregor. Now, nothing was given for that at all, and you look back at the replays, and the referee had clear vision of that challenge, so he obviously seen it. So on the 74th minute, there was a shot by Aberdeen and it was right at McGregor. 75th minute, there was a corner in from the left from Aberdeen, forcing McGregor to make a great save. Ball eventually cleared after more Aberdeen possession. 82nd minute, Kent came off, Katic came on. 85th minute, Arfield came off and Koulibaly came on. 87th minute, there was a corner in from Aberdeen. The ball bounced and eventually flicked up at close range, and McGregor pulls off an outstanding save. It was just a pure reactionary save from a very close range flick. So once again, McGregor keeping us in it.
Yep. And it was though, Derek, but the one thing I'll say is if McGregor didn't get that, Koulibaly was right behind him. He was getting ready to head the ball off the line, to be fair to him, and you could see that quite clearly where McGregor's hand was when he made the save. Koulibaly's head was right behind it, so I still think that, you know, we would have got that clear there, but it was an outstanding save.
Yep. And to round it off, on the 94th minute we went 4-2 up with a lovely goal where Jermaine Defoe scored a lovely sweeper move, playing the ball forward down the right. Jack cuts the ball back. The ball eventually worked to Defoe on the left side of the box and shoots a fantastic shot into the back of net. It was a difficult shot and difficult one to pull off, but outstanding, lovely move, and the whole place went ballistic, didn't it?
It was fantastic, and we actually have to thank Andy Walker for this, Derek, because what you didn't mention was the person that set Defoe up was actually James Tavernier, and just before Tavernier picked the ball up, Andy Walker made a comment about Tavernier being dead on his feet. And the next minute, Tavernier takes the ball, receives it for Jack, you know, cuts inside the box, sees Defoe peel away for his man. And this is what we brought Defoe in for, Derek. One chance, one goal, absolutely clinical. And to say that I was going absolutely mental when we scored that fourth goal, the sheer joy and the feeling that certainly gave me was it was absolutely fantastic, for the fact that we had the man sent off, and the fact that we hadn't really done anything since Morelos went off. It was just that one break, one chance, one goal for Defoe.
One voice, one hope, one real decision.
I was delighted for him, and it was just a fantastic finish as well, Derek, wasn't it? It really was. He was cool as a cucumber when he hit that tremendous goal.
With my child asleep next door, sound asleep, my dad's in this room with me as well, watching the football. I think we both kind of, quite hushedly, as hushed as we could, shouted something about, get it up, you sheep-jagging master. So, how she never woke up after that, I don't know.
It was tremendous, and it was just a great feeling for us all, Derek, because everything that had happened with Aberdeen this season as well, you know, with the cup semi-final and the game at Ibrox, it was just a great feeling, it really was, and it just satisfaction more than anything else, and delighted for Defoe. And that's what I said when I was watching it with my son. It was just like, you know, that's the reason that we brought him in. One chance, one goal. Absolutely fantastic. Delighted. And thanks again, Andy Walker.
Yep. So the game ended, and over the next couple of days, we've kind of found out how real tin pot Aberdeen really are. Over a couple of interviews with a couple of players and all that, and from what we've heard from the inside knowledge, is Aberdeen throughout their corridors on the way to the away dressing room and in the away dressing room and all around the place, quite rightly, they've got 20 or so odd pictures of their kind of glory days with winning the Cup Winners' Cup and their leagues and all that kind of thing. However, they had taken them all down and replaced them with pictures of their win against us a couple of months beforehand in the semi-final.
I hadn't heard that, Derek. This is the first I'm hearing this.
Just think of us pulling down everything to do with Barcelona 72, with our Hall of Fame, and replacing it with, you know, winning this game, pictures of this.
Quite incredible.
You know,
quite incredible.
That's what that equates to. And then the best part of it all is, bit of mixed stories. We don't know if he actually went into the dressing room or stood outside. He was maybe humming and hawing and he got caught outside, but apparently Derek McInnes was in and around that area anyway, we'll say that, and he asked us to turn down the music and stop celebrating so loud.
No, get it up, you Derek, that's what I would be saying. Yeah.
As I think apparently Gerard and him had words, I don't know if they were heated or not, but I hope they went along the lines of, shut the fuck up, you tin pot fucker.
So
obviously a good feeling there, and another tough game to come up next, which was Saturday the 9th of February away to Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup Round 5. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Worrell, Goldson, Halliday, McCrory, Jack, Arfield, Candeas, Defoe and Kent. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Davis, Lafferty, Katic, Koulibaly, Barisic and Middleton. Another great bench, wasn't it?
So, yep, certainly is fantastic. Yep.
So in the second minute it was a poor backwards pass from Candeas, catching McCrory unaware. Kelly Nip player nips in and hits a shot from distance but well wide. Now within 2 minutes we nearly made the same mistake as we did that against them the last time, which was really bloody piss poor. But on the 10th minute it was a free kick on the right side of our box from about 15 yards, goes to the near post and McGregor has to make a good save. And then on the 13th minute, lo and behold, we got another penalty, didn't we?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ryan Kent gets the ball off the defender on the left-hand side at the touchline, drives the ball into the box, passes to Arfield, who hits a shot, hits the body of Broadfoot, and he basically gathered it with both his hands. Now, it looked accidental at first, and then he kind of grabbed the ball. So, to me, that's a blatant red card, isn't it?
Well, it should be, Derek.
Yeah.
I
know there's the whole double jeopardy rule, but I don't think that stands in Scotland at all. Or if it does, it's selective by referees. So, but anyway, up steps Tavernier and he fucking misses it. It was a 2 foot, basically he's taken 2 step run up and really poor penalty down the middle, and the trailing legs of the keeper caught it. Really poor penalty, wasn't it?
Even if it had been slightly higher, Derek, you know, if it had got up a wee bit more height in it, he would have scored it. But as you say, it was pretty poor. It wasn't struck very well at all, and really not what we were wanting. But at the same time, early enough in the game, and it was still 0-0. So, but disappointing.
And then on the 26th minute, another moment of controversy. Jack was kicked right in the face with a very high boot on the edge of the box by the guy called Power. Absolutely shocking challenge. I read every day of the week. Maybe he never meant it. That's fair enough. However, it was dangerous and reckless. And only a yellow card was given. Now, there's been memes on the internet with this one, and basically it's Hulk Hogan putting a high boot into the face of the Undertaker. Now, you know the height of the Undertaker, 6'10", whatever, that shows you how high that he had to get his foot up, and this was basically the exact same. Unbelievable decision from the referee.
Absolutely shocking, and I have to say, though, a big bravo to the Rangers media department using that picture just to let everybody know when the replay was going to take place. That was very, very well done. I've got to applaud them for that one.
Yep. And on to round out the half, on the 27th minute, there was a corner in from Kelly, not cleared, flicked up off the arm of Malumbu, and then nothing was given, and then cleared off the line by Halliday. So Kilmarnock had a chance. It hit the arm of Malumbu, and it wasn't given. A clear handball in our box, yet nothing was given. Unbelievable again. So that kind of rounded out half time. That it was a bit of a non-event of a game, largely scrappy. Took us about 20 minutes to get going, where it was all Killian until that point. However, kind of in the reverse of the game a few weeks ago, we kind of came more into it after the 20th minute, and then we were really the much better team after that, but not putting Killian under any pressure whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Kind of amazed at that point that Broadfoot hadn't been sent off for the fact that he had obviously handballed in the box, but also when we had a quick break up, he clearly taken the player out. There was no attempt to play the ball whatsoever. We were on a clear break and not a thing was given. And obviously then there was a karate kick on Jack, so Killian should have been down to 9 men at that point, but they still had their full quota. Unbelievable.
Exactly. Yep, totally.
So into the second half, we could only hope it was getting better, and on the 57th minute, was a bad head knock with McCrory and Power from Kelly. It was completely accidental, but Power must have been completely sparked out before his head hit the ground, because his head just smacked off the ground in a bad way, and he was completely sparkled, and he went off just shortly afterwards.
It was a bad one.
See, if he was sent off in the first place, that wouldn't have happened. On the 65th minute, there was a free kick floated into the box. A weak header by Goldson, an easy save by the keeper. 71st minute, was a good corner floated in from the right. Arfield gets his quality street tin heed on, and he puts it well wide. On the 78th minute, McCrory robs Malumbu in the Killy half, takes the ball forward a couple of yards before threading a great ball through to Defoe in the box. Ends up clipping it just wide, but the keeper came out to close the angle. And on the 82nd minute, Arfield came off, Davis came on. 86th minute, Defoe came off, Lafferty came on, and that's how the game ended. A bit strange, we left it so late again to make changes, where it was clearly calling out for changes, but I suppose on that pitch, get it back to Ibrox. Not the greatest of performances overall, not the greatest of results, but another game is something we could have done without, but better chance at Ibrox at that point, and Kelly never threatened as much as
not at all, Derek. I mean, did Kilmarnock have an actual shot on target in the second half?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think they did, no. So, I mean, it was, although it was a disappointing result and it wasn't a great performance, we were still the better team, Derek, and we still controlled the match, and on that pitch as well, as it's proved before. It's no mean feat. So, I know, I wasn't too disappointed in that one, Derek.
So, before we round out this section for the Down the Tunnel section, we obviously need to discuss compliance officers and media, Dave, don't we?
Right. First of all, Derek, what I want to talk to you about is that you have given, in the space of 5 minutes, a much fuller, comprehensive coverage of that match than what the vast, vast majority of the mainstream media have done since that game. Now, I'll be completely honest with you, Derek. You look at any of the back pages of the newspapers, which I don't buy any newspapers, I must admit, but I do see the odd paper at work and things like that, and I look at the back of them if I'm in the supermarket, so ever I look back. But going on everything that I've seen on social media, everything that I've listened to on the radio, everything that I've seen on TV, all of that, all that happened on that night, you know, as far as I see, was Alfredo Morelos turned up at Pittodrie on his own and violently assaulted an Aberdeen player. And that's basically what happened at the game. Nothing to do with the result, nothing to do with the way Rangers played, nothing to do with, you know, everything else that happened. The only thing that has been reported on that match is Alfredo Morelos apparently stamping on someone and, you know, a really, really bad tackle. That's basically all we've heard, doesn't it?
Yeah. And despite the fact that, as you mentioned, that the game at Pittodrie was an outstanding game for a neutral to watch, it was
no,
really
exactly.
highlighted
no.
how good Scottish football can be.
And that, anybody who can turn round to me and say that what I've just said is not true. I mean, you're absolutely, it's so blatantly obvious that the only thing that the mainstream media in this country wanted to do was basically highlight the Alfredo Morelos incident and make him out to be, you know, the villain of the piece. That's all it was there's nothing being said about how well that Rangers played in that game. There's nothing to be said about any of the goals that were scored. It was just that one incident, and they had him tried and guilty before anything else, Derek. Let's be perfectly honest. It has been absolutely shocking. I didn't think things could get much worse with regards to the media, but that just took the biscuit for me. It really did. It's all that they've been on about. It's all that they will remember. It's all that they're going to report. It's just absolutely shocking. And again, any Rangers fan out there that still goes out and buys a newspaper and still downloads their links, you know, their clicks, you know, on social media, you really need to get a grip of yourselves, because it's absolutely shocking. We were absolutely outstanding in that game, both in an attacking sense in the first half and half of the second half, and then defensively we were outstanding again, and then for us to get the fourth goal the way we did, it was just sublime. And we've no heard anything about that, Derek. We really haven't, and it's just shocking. It really is.
It's they're playing to one element of support, and that's quite clearly what it is. And it's the whole, you know, not just Celtic fans now, of it quite clearly, it's any fan that hates Rangers. That's who they're playing to, and it's clear as day to see. And that's why the likes of, you know, I don't mind so much paying for the likes of Heart and Hands Patreon when you're getting a lot of the history stuff, you're getting up-to-date information, you're not getting, yeah, you're getting blue-tinted stuff, because that's what you're actually paying for, and that's what you want.
But it's accurate,
that's the thing.
That's it. And again, people listening to us as well, I mean, of course, we're going to be showing this in a Rangers light, because it's a fucking Rangers podcast, Derek, but again, you still want to see the mainstream media showing and giving praise when we should be getting praised. And, you know, that game was, you know, Rangers were fantastic in the first half, Derek, and they were fantastic for half of the second half as well. And then we were fantastic in a different way. At the end, it was a complete team performance. And, you know, it was a fantastic result, and it's just never, ever going to be shown in that way in the media, you know, at all. It is only going to be about that one thing that happened, and that's it. And even me and you are still, you know, we've been debating on what actually happened, and we will for a long time, and it's just absolutely shocking. It pissed me off no end, because when the full-time whistle went, I was absolutely delighted in the way that Rangers had played and the result and everything like that. I was, and so was every other Rangers fan out there, and it was just turned around in an instant by the media to be all about Alfredo Morelos. That's all it was. There was nothing else. They couldn't speak about a result. They couldn't speak about performance. It was just about that incident. I'm repeating myself here, Derek, but I was so fucking annoyed by it. It was unbelievable.
I wouldn't have guessed.
And if it was, and if that's no bad enough, Derek, what's followed after that you're about to get into is, you know, again, it's just incredible. But I'll let you get into that as well.
Yeah, obviously the fallout with all the decisions and compliance have come down to the compliance officer now as well. Now, Dave, you've mentioned it, trial by sports scene, and that's yep. what it really seems to be, where it's anything that sports scene cleverly edit so that it doesn't show instance against Celtic, but it shows every little minute thing, that the negative thing that any Rangers yep. player may get involved in. Now, it kind of started with the SFA coming out of the blue by saying that they'll be taking no further action against Jermaine Defoe for his alleged dive in the St Mirren game. Now, nobody thought they was going to get anything no. against him. The referee made a decision. It was a penalty. You know, simple as. It was only under call of certain individuals. Now, this is where the compliance officer, in theory, you know, the theory of it should work. However, there is no transparency about how it works. And certainly, by all accounts, all three compliance officers that have been in that position have all been Celtic-minded, appointed then by their predecessors. So that shouldn't be allowed for a start. Now, the next thing we found out from the compliance officer is obviously that Rangers were going to appeal the red card for Morelos, quite rightly so. He was the one who was assaulted, not the other way about. So as we were waiting the results of that coming out a couple of days ago, there was an early statement from them saying that McGregor had been offered a 2-game suspension for the challenge, obviously that one in the box with the Aberdeen player, which the referee saw.
Yes, and never took any action.
Decided not to take any action on that one. So how did that come about? Please
exactly, exactly. And that's what I, you know, that's what needs to be explained as well, Derek. Exactly that, exactly. You've got it right in the nose there.
So we eventually, the result of the Morelos appeal came out a good few hours later, and it turned out it was not successful. So
he would serve
a 3-game ban, 2 for mm-hmm. the actual incident and 1 for this being the second time something like this has been happened to him. So then, following that, shortly after, the SFA came out with a statement saying that the Hibs player, who had already been booked in the game for Celtic against Hibs, was going to be also offered a 2-game ban, as they were upping it from a yellow card to a serious foul, where they thought he should have been sent off. Now, that flies in the face of, if the referee has already taken action on an offence,
yep.
then the compliance officer can't get involved and they can't
exactly.
use video
yep.
evidence. So, as some pundits were duly saying, and I'll give them all credit to this one, the likes of Tom English and some of them were saying, yeah, this just doesn't make sense now, because we all thought that couldn't happen.
Yep.
Now we're in the land of, well, they're just really making it up as they go along here, aren't they? And also what came out in that statement is, in that same game, there was 3 Celtic players who had the potential to face further action in this. One was Oliver Burke-Dive, which I'll give them that. I don't think it was a dive. I think it was just he stumbled and it maybe looked as if he was diving. However, there was 2 other players. Brown, surprise, surprise, had a shocking challenge. Was nothing given. And Simeonovic, I think he wasn't even booked either in it. And it was another really cynical challenge. I think it was a high flying elbow again. They were not getting looked into either. So there was 3 players from Celtic in that match that could have been cited, weren't. Where the guy that already been dealt with by the referee at the time has been cited. Mm-hmm. Once again, doesn't make sense. The BBC then highlighted footage 2 days later of the Brown and Simeonovic challenges. That was never done on Sports Scene initially when they were highlighting that Celtic Hibs game. Why would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this trial by Sports Scene, very
exactly.
creative editing from them. So today.
KSI.
So today we've now been here waiting for the McGregor appeal. We've basically appealed his 2-game offer, and we have apparently asked for be it delayed until tomorrow, which I thought, well, it's a bit strange. However, we found out more news tonight that Power, the guy who done the karate kick to Jack's face, will face no further action. Basically, you know, he was given a yellow card at the time. There was also another game in the Dundee United St Mirren game at the weekend, where a St Mirren player had a full force blatant elbow into the face of the Dundee United player. He was given a yellow at the time as well. In both these instances, the SFA have said both these players will face no further action mm-hmm. because of inconclusive evidence. Yep. That is despite several camera angles and several still shots of both of these incidents showing the incident clearly and showing that they were both dangerous and both blatant.
Exactly.
So, what are you trying to tell me now is, I'm quite positive the outcome of tomorrow's hearing with McGregor will be that the two-game ban stands. Where will the SFA stand on that then? Because a referee, suppose it looks as if he had seen it at the time, the McGregor thing. Now they're saying that two clear, obvious incidents that have been highlighted several times with the Jack and the St Mirren one, there was insufficient evidence.
Derek, I mean, I will be absolutely shocked if McGregor does not get a two-game ban tomorrow. I will be totally and utterly shocked, and it won't surprise me in the slightest. Again, it's this whole moving the goalposts, isn't it? There's absolutely no transparency there whatsoever. And as you say, it looks as if things are getting made up as they go along, and made up as they go along against a certain team also is how it should be, and you know, and how it should be written down in their words. It is quite incredible, and just watch this space. McGregor will get his two-game ban tomorrow, but I'll be absolutely shocked if he doesn't.
Do you know what? I kind of hope he does, because I really think that the club need to go scorch the earth on this, like go absolutely ballistic, call everything under the sun and face anything, any punishment they want to try and give at us. You know, it's got to the stage now where withdraw from games, because we cannot be guaranteed that our players are given a fair shot at the rule book and they cannot guarantee their safety. Now, that Jack incident is a clear indication that players cannot be guaranteed safety. The fact that he's basically walked away scot-free with that, a yellow card.
Totally.
Same with that St Mirren player. It turns out as well that Hibs, the Hibs player that already been booked in the game, got offered the two-game ban. The Hibs appealed it, and they've also lost that appeal. So, what is that saying for players now, that the fact that refereeing decisions at the time are getting overruled, but also as well extreme dangerous challenges are not even getting looked at?
They are,
but selectively.
And again, it all comes down to Derek, that these incidents were supposed to be reported when a referee takes no action. When a referee, you know, sees something in a game and he decides what's happening, all of a sudden now that's all changed, and it's going to be, we're going to, as you say, clever editing. And all of a sudden, these people are put in front of compliance officers for things like that. You know, when referees have already dealt with a situation, it's incredible. It really is, and there's no transparency at all there.
Nobody's saying that referees have got an easy job. It's a very difficult job, and they get no thanks for it sometimes. However, there are basic mistakes getting made week in, week out, where they need help. You know, they need to go full time. They need a lot more training in that respect as well. There's no consistency of where they get sent. You know, you might live in one area of the country, but you might get sent to the complete opposite end of the country on a very short notice. So there's things like that happen in the SFA where there's no consistency. There's no thought process to it at all. So we'll see what happens with tomorrow with the compliance officer and Shagger. But you know, as I said, the club need to go scorched the earth with this, because and it's not just Rangers. You know, Hibs should be bailing about this as well, because they're losing a player that action was taken, and as I said, the goalposts have been moved. So
yeah,
we'll kind of round out this section now, because I've had a done all the ranting in this podcast will last about 10 years if we keep going on like this. So in the table, we have played 25, won 15, drawn 6, lost 4, scored 55, conceded 20, goal difference of plus 35, and we're on 51 points. We're 6 points behind Celtic, we're in second, 5 ahead of Aberdeen and Kilmarnock, 8 ahead of Hearts, and 14 ahead of St Johnstone. So, starting to pull out a gap now, which is good.
Yep.
Games to come, Saturday the 16th of February at home to St Johnstone, which is a 3 o'clock kick-off in the Premiership. The replay against Kilmarnock, which is Wednesday the 20th of February, 1945 kickoff. They're charging £27 for that replay.
Yeah, I heard
now,
that, yep.
The stories are that, and I'm not sure how true these are, that Kilmarnock found out obviously how many automatic tickets that Rangers would get in terms of the season tickets, and it's obviously something like 10,000. So they would rather take their chances with 27 times 10,000 as opposed to charging only a tenner for the replay and getting 50,000 in there. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Lunacy, but you know, that's what happens with other clubs mm-hmm. for you. Short term gain. Next game is Sunday the 24th of February away to Hamilton. That's a 12:15 kickoff. And in a podcast first for the season, Wednesday the 27th of February at home to Dundee, 19:45 kickoff. Myself, you friend of the pod, Ewan, and your boy are going to this game, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to go, Derek. We've not been for a wee while, and it's just landed perfect for days off and shifts and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that one, Derek, and here's hoping that we're on a winning run by the time we get there, touchwood. So we'll wait and see.
Yep. So we'll end that section here and we'll go down the pit. No, we won't, as we've already done.
No, we won't. We'll go back in time. Right.
Go down. We'll go to the classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Right, Dave, you have got another away win against the Sheep for us, haven't you?
Certainly do, Derek. It's this is a fantastic game as well that I found. I've actually watched it about four times in total. It was this was, you know, again another classic game, you know, against the Aberdeen, really tough going. Aberdeen with a lot of very famous international players at that point. So the game took place on the 6th of February 1988, and Rangers were ran at that point by the great Mr. Graham Souness. So the Rangers team on this day started off with Chris Woods in goals and a back four of Graham Roberts, Jimmy Nicol, Richard Goff and John Brown, Jan Bartram also, Graham Souness, Derek Ferguson, Ian Durant, Mark Walters and Ali McCoist. Aberdeen team at that point had, you know, a lot of very famous players: Jim Leighton, Stuart McKimmy, Alec McLeish, Jim Bett, Bobby Connor, Joe Miller and Charlie Nicholas, to name but a few. So Rangers, at the start of the game, Derek, the first 10 minutes was pretty frantic stuff. Graham Souness putting in some, you know, really meaty challenges in there, but both teams were basically just trying to get a feel of the ball. And then on 10 minutes, Rangers started to come into their own. Ian Durant on the right with an infield ball to Ali McCoist, who passes it back to Ian Durant into the box. He was tackled by Alec McLeish and the ball falls straight to Mark Walters on the right, who has a low shot, which was a very good save by Jim Leighton. 14 minutes, Aberdeen with a high ball into the box. Chris Woods punches the ball away. It's picked up by Jim Bett on the right and he crosses. It's headed by John Brown and out to, I think it was Bobby Connor, who has a volley which is just over the goal, the crossbar of Chris Woods. Quite unlucky there. But then on the 21st minute, Rangers actually take the lead with a fantastic goal by Ali McCoist.
There's Bartram. Run by McCoist. McLeish is with him. Can McCoist make something of this? Yes! It's a magnificent goal from Ali McCoist. Opportunism at its highest class. The 21st minute of the first half, the Rangers fans go crazy, and it's little wonder. This was superb striking. The long ball forward from Bartram, McCoy's closely marked by the Scotland centre-half Alec McLeish, turned him brilliantly, made a little space for the shot, and drilled it past Leighton.
Jan Bartram on the left-hand side, he sprinted down and played a long ball up to Ali McCoist, who picked the ball up. It sort of bounced on the edge of the box. McCoist had his back to goal. He had Alec McLeish tight on him, but he let the ball bounce and he'd done a full 180-degree turn when the ball was bouncing and hits an absolutely sensational shot past Jim Leighton. fantastic goal by Ali McCoist that made it 1-0 to Rangers. Then not long after that, Richard Gough received a yellow card for really nothing much. I still don't know what it was for. It was a high ball. Both him and the Aberdeen player went for the high challenge. The referee seemed to think that he was using excessive force and booked Richard Gough. Really nothing in it, to be honest with you. Then Aberdeen picked up a loose ball on the edge of the box. It passed back to Jim Bett and he had a shot high over the bar. Then Derek Ferguson on the left-hand side into Alec McCoist in the edge of the box. He puts it back to Richard Gough, and then Richard Gough to Mark Walters on the right-hand side of the box. Double shuffle and then out to the byline to Ali McCoist. He puts in a fantastic cross and Mark Walters had ran back in and gets a header which just goes over and just past the ball. He really should have scored. He was close in. It was great play though, a fantastic cross by McCoist and great awareness by Walters. Really unlucky there. Then Ian Durant with a fantastic through ball to Ali McCoist who ran in, but then a great challenge by Alec McLeish just on the edge of the box and cleared the way. And then on the 34th minute, Rangers scored their second goal.
Wilkins plays it wide. Rangers enjoying a great spell of ascendancy now as the ball is played in by Roberts. There's Gough! The second for Rangers. Richard Gough's third for Rangers and 54 minutes on the clock. Of attacking play from Rangers, it could so easily be a goal earlier when Bartram tore apart the Aberdeen defence on the right, but in the end it was Graham Roberts who sent over the high looping cross. There was Richard Gough doing one of the things he didn't want for, the glancing downward header, bouncing away from Leighton into the corner.
Ian Bartram showing sheer speed down the left-hand side against Stuart McKimmie, and Stuart McKimmie wasn't exactly slow in his heyday, but he managed to beat McKimmie, and he puts in a fantastic cross to the back post. It's headed back across by Mark Walters to Ali McCoist to tap the ball into the goal, but completely misses it, which is incredible by Ali McCoist. The ball goes out to the byline. It's picked up by Graham Souness. He puts in another cross and eventually the ball ends up back in the Rangers defence. And from that point, Rangers go on to score the second goal because it's picked up by Graham Roberts. And he looks up and he puts in a long high ball into the box. And there's Richard Gough who leaps up with the Aberdeen defence on the penalty spot, heads the ball down and it bounces just in front of Jim Leighton and into the goal to make it 2-0 to Rangers. A fantastic goal there by Richard Gough. Just before half-time, Joe Miller puts in a great cross for the right-hand side and there's a fantastic diving save by Chris Woods. But then the half-time whistle goes, so Rangers have got a fantastic 2-0 victory. But here's one for you here, Derek. 47th minute, 2 minutes after half-time, and what happens? Aberdeen get a penalty. Exactly like the last game. 47th minute.
Free kick taken by Betts. Up goes Falter. So is Mark Walter. The referee Jim McCluskey is adamant that Aberdeen have a golden opportunity at the start of the second half to get right back into the match. A high ball played in. Faulkner was going for it. There was a hand that appeared to come from John Brown. It appeared to play the ball away and the referee gives the penalty kick. So is Jim Bett, the first minute of the second half. He's got a record of 8 out of 8 this season facing Chris Woods. Can Jim Bett pull Aberdeen right back into the match? Confidently finished by Bett. Aberdeen fans erupt and suddenly we have a magnificent match in prospect for the rest of the second half.
John Brown, where unfortunately a handball, really couldn't do much about it, and Jim Bett stepped up and fired the ball home for Aberdeen to make it 2-1 to to Rangers. Then there was this is when Rangers kind of came into it more defensively, because Aberdeen were putting us under pressure for there, and John Brown puts in an absolutely really hard as nails tackle when Charlie Nicholas puts him right up in the air. Nothing given for that, which was great. And then a really moment of controversy, Richard Gough, with a last-ditch tackle. The referee saw it as a foul. It certainly wasn't a foul. And he gives Gough his second yellow card of the game. Now you can see how absolutely devastated that Richard Gough was at that point. He had to get ushered off by a few of his teammates. Shocking decision. Richard Gough off, and Aberdeen were really wanting to go for it. Aberdeen, you know, we were quite lucky after that, because Aberdeen might have had a penalty. One of their players tackled by Roberts. But then straight after that, Chris Woods picks the ball up and kicks a long ball, just a straight right up the field. Aberdeen defence completely misses it. It goes straight through to Ali McCoist. He races through one-on-one with Jim Leighton, but fires the ball just past the post. He really should have scored. He really should have had a hat-trick there, Ali McCoist. It wasn't to be. Again, a bit like Alfredo Morelos in the last game, Derek. Aberdeen then pressure, and then a fantastic save by Chris Woods when Stuart McKimmy burst in one-on-one on the right-hand side. Great save there by Woods. Then Aberdeen had a free kick on the left-hand side. The ground in the goal area at that point was really poor. It was just a mud swamp round about the goal line. Chris Woods comes out to try and retrieve the ball, completely slips and mistimes his jump, and the Aberdeen player just heads the ball past the post. Pretty unlucky there. And then a chance for Rangers. Graham Souness on the right. He plays the ball into the box on the deck to Ian Durant, who then finds Ali McCoist, who has a low shot but just past the post. And then chance for Charlie Nicholas, who shoots low not long after that, saved by Woods. And then absolutely incredible defended here by John Brown, absolutely sensational. Joe Miller with a cross on the left hand side to the back post, complete open goal. Charlie Nicholas with a powerful header, but John Brown sort of throws himself acrobatically. It was like an overhead kick that he'd done himself, but managed to get the tackle in on the line and clear the ball on the line. I don't know how on earth he managed to do it. That was put out there. It was cleared straight to Jim Bett. Jim Bett fires an incredible shot, which has gone goal bound again. And who's there to clear it again? John Brown throws himself in front of the ball, and it goes out for the corner. Quite sensational defending there by John Brown. Fantastic. And then the last chance of the game falls for Charlie Nicholas. He shoots again for a low cross, and another fine save by Chris Woods. And that is how the game went out. Quite a sensational game for Rangers. Battling performance right to the end. Again, very similar to the game that we've covered earlier on. Rangers were excellent in the first half. In cruise control. Aberdeen get the penalty. Players sent off, but then, you know, we managed to see it out with some really good defending at the end. So a fantastic battling performance to watch, and I urge, as I always, if you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do, because I had completely forgotten about this game, Derek, and it was a joy to watch. It really was. It was great stuff.
Unfortunately, I never watched it because I never had the time to. It was a 30-odd minute highlight reel, so it was good to see. But certainly looking at Dave's, listening to Dave there, it sounded a great game, as much as a battling performance as the game we just played in the year 2019. So we'll have another classic match in the next episode.
Yep.
So we'll move on to the news. So only a couple of bits and pieces from the news here. The club are heading back to court for the next round of the Mike Ashley Sports Direct saga. Follows on from the last court ruling, which they won, and now they've now actually made further complaints relating to deals involving us, Elite, and Hummel. It's a high court in London, and it's scheduled for the 12th of April. So roll it on, Mike Ashley, you fat piece of shit.
It never seems to end, Derek, does it?
Oh, you know what? It's more the point. It's personal one now, and you know he's doing his reputation no good whatsoever. You know, as we've said time and time again, he could have made an absolute fortune out of us if he had just done the right thing from the beginning. And instead, he's getting involved in litigation after litigation by a guy who's equally not willing to give up in Dave King. So Dave King, anybody who says he's not doing any good for Rangers here, he clearly is, if he's still fighting this fat tub of shit. So I'll leave that there before I get myself libeled. But look at him, he's a fucking fat tub of shit, so I'm not saying anything that's not right and not wrong. So,
but apart from that, he's alright.
I'm sure his wife and family like him. Well, even that's taking a bit too far.
Well, right, we'll leave that there, I think.
I like his billions of pounds. But anyway, good bit of news here. Fernando Rixon was out and about, and he was at the Hummel training centre as well, seeing all the players. So good to see him still fighting on. And
great stuff, and it was. Yep. Well, and, you know, and I think his family were delighted as well, because it's the first time that he'd been out for a long time, and, you know, he'd shown great strength and stuff like that to get out. So, no, it is. It's great to see Derek that he's still in there and he's still fighting and, you know, still so, you know, everybody's, you know, chuffed to bits that he's still able to get out. And, you know, it'd have been a great day for him, so really, really pleased. Good stuff.
Yep. And in a very short two-line statement, Carlos Peña his contract has been terminated.
Yep. Carlos Peña has left the building.
As we've said, you know, I thought he was a player there, but, you know, obviously the management didn't think so, and we'll defer to their superior knowledge who've seen him and dealt with him, so.
Yeah.
No much more you can say about that.
No, there's no Derek. We have spoken at great length about the guy, haven't we? And, you know, we thought there was maybe a slight chance that he could have been coming back, but Steven Gerrard made it known quite, you know, early that he wasn't a part of his plan. So, contract terminated. It was a costly mistake by the club, and it didn't work out. And we'll have to leave it at that. There's nothing more we can say on it.
Yep. And a good piece of news here, Rangers Soccer Schools have announced a partnership with Harbour Soccer Schools in Seattle, Washington. It's a two-way thing with groups travelling to and from Glasgow and vice versa. Good to expand the brand name as well out in America.
Yes, fantastic.
Yes. Apparently the SPFL have struck a TV deal to show games in the USA, Canada, China, India, Ukraine and Russia. I don't know what network it's going to be on, but certainly these are new ones that added on. 119 countries in total now, apparently the SPL showing in. I've no idea why they would want to watch some of the games anyway. Certainly the Aberdeen Rangers game was a great advert, not that you would actually hear about it from our media, as we said. But the deal's worth, it goes up until next summer and is worth £2 million. So between the 42 clubs, that's worth $47,500 each. Wow.
Hey, all right, okay.
Wow. Well,
better than nothing.
Yeah. And ex-player David Robertson is only around about four games away from the last time it was reported from winning the Indian title with Real Kashmir. He won promotion with them in his first season last year. They're only a three-year-old club apparently as well, and he's going to be the subject of a fly-in-the-wall.bbc documentary later in the year about his time over there with them, so that could be a very interesting watch.
All right, okay.
Yes. Bet you never knew that, did you?
No, I certainly didn't. No, there you go.
Yeah. So, slightly different this week, strange sex laws.
Okay.
In Washington, it's perfectly legal to have sex with an animal as long as it doesn't weigh more than 40 pounds.
Oh dear. Right.
Under Guam law, it's precisely prohibited for virgins to get married.
All right.
Lebanon law allows men to have sex with animals if only the animal is female.
it's quite all right to have sex with an animal as long as it's female.
There's more. It's a deadly crime to have sex with a male animal, which is punishable by death.
Oh, dearie dear.
In Santa Cruz, Bolivia, it's punishable under the law for a man to have sex with a lady and her daughter at the same time. In Scotland, it's called If Only You Got the Chance to.
Oh my God. Derek, your search history, I dread to think what your search history is like on your computer.
In Rumbach, Virginia, the law forbids anyone to engage in sexual activity with the lights on. In Indonesia, the punishment for masturbation is decapitation under the law. That certainly brings a new meaning to ripping the head off it, doesn't it?
And it's one thing we say, we can't say there's a load of wankers in Indonesia.
In Cote d'Alene, Idaho, it's probably the safest place to have sex in your car. Police officers are not allowed to walk up to parked cars and tap on the window. If the officer is doubtful, he must drive up to the car and honk the horn 3 times and then wait 2 minutes before walking out of his car to probe further.
Seriously? Bizarre.
Oh. On that note, that's the end of the podcast.
Aye.
As ever, if you check out our website, which is iradiopodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find all the links to our social media sites, such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and obviously our streaming sites as well, like Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. Obviously, on that website as well, you can get all our past and present episodes, as well as information about the classic matches we do, links to all the post-matches we do as well. So, all that's left to say is thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Yes, thanks for listening, guys. I know it's been a long one and it's been quite a ranty one, but I think we were justified in that, Derek, don't you? So take care, folks, and we will be back soon. Cheers.
Bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.